The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Sweden is planning to impose what's being called a good and absolutely necessary ban on begging across that country. Philip O'Connor is an Irish journalist based in Stockholm and he's on the line. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, they're not doing it tomorrow. They're kind of thinking about it and when they'll do it.
Exactly. This is very much a consensus society, Pat, and there's plenty of work to be done before we reach such a begging ban. Basically, what the government has said it's going to do is it's going to launch an investigation, or it's going to launch a sort of a study to see how it might be possible to ban begging on the streets of Stockholm and other cities and towns around the country. And this has its roots in the election of 2022, which didn't really give a clear outcome. The centre-left didn't really have a majority. The centre-right didn't have a majority. And in the heel of the hunt, what ended up happening was that the right wing ended up going into government supported by the far-right Sweden Democrats. And this was one of the big things that they wanted involved in what is called the TIDA programme, which is the basis for government and the confidence and supply agreement where they vote for everything the government does. They wanted this this investigation. They want this legislation and they are the driving force behind it.
Now, the reason that maybe Swedish ordinary citizens would maybe support this would be that it's only in recent times that you would see begging at all on the streets of Stockholm, for example.
Well, I don't think that's entirely accurate, but I would say that it has sort of increased over the last 10 or 15 years. And this has a lot to do with EU expansion and the fact that many more people have the right to sort of move around Europe as they would, as any citizen, as you and I do. But what did happen when that happened was that people started to come from Eastern and Central Europe. A lot of them would be Roma people who were sort of not treated the best in their own country. And they saw an opportunity whereby they could go to a wealthy country like Sweden and maybe by begging and maybe by collecting these deposit return cans and bottles that they might make a better life for themselves and be able to send money back home to their home country. So that was where it really became visible, and that was where people started to talk about it. So what tends to happen is that they would gather in sort of centres where there's a lot of footfall. So say outside an underground station in the morning, you might be sitting there, you find somebody sitting there, usually the same person. They'll have a few cushions and maybe a paper coffee cup in front of them. But there has been, as there often is, we've often heard talk of aggressive begging in other cities in Europe, and there has been a sort of a rise and fall of it. But I'd have to say that, you know, it's not the most pleasant environment, should we say, and certainly not in the winter here in Sweden. So it's quite seasonal and it has sort of gone up and down over the years.
Now, the reason maybe that Sweden didn't have a begging culture was because social welfare and social supports were famously great in Sweden.
Yeah, they certainly were. I mean, Olaf Palme always talked about the people's home and having a safety net through which no one would ever be allowed to fall. But there has always been people, no more than in any society, who manage to fall outside that safety net. There might be people who end up in debt. It might be people with addiction issues. It might be people with mental health issues. And often it's two or three of those things put together. So it wasn't visible in the same way, but it is something that has always existed. Indeed, the Irish community here in Stockholm was previously very involved in terms of helping the homeless, especially around this time of year when the weather was going to get colder. So it is something that's always existed. But as I say, I think it became more visible with what they call euphemistically EU migrants coming to the country. And then, of course, there's always allegations, especially when it comes to Roma people, that they would be involved in criminality. Most of those allegations indeed would be baseless. But there's always allegations that there's something else happening. And then there's always the danger, of course, of organised crime and people trafficking and people taking a percentage as well. So the view really from the civil rights organisations here, such as Amnesty International and Civil Rights Defenders, is that you can't really make a crime out of it. How can you ban somebody from saying, I need help? And indeed, I think the European Court has found that a case taken in Switzerland, that people actually do have the right to beg. So it's going to be very, very difficult. And that's the purpose of the investigation, is to find out if this is actually viable at all.
And that's what they're going to spend 9 months studying. And obviously, there are legitimate charities, I presume, as we have in Ireland, for example, who collect regularly for their cause. I mean, would they be affected?
Well, this is the problem. So how do you criminalise asking for help? How do you criminalise asking for support? How do you criminalise asking for money? Because if you're going to do this to the person sitting outside the underground station, the person at the other side of the door might be wearing a high-vis vest and might be working for, you know, a relief charity working in Africa, or indeed working with the city's homeless in some other way. And that's the really difficult thing. And I think that that's the sort of, you know, the racism behind the idea is what makes it very difficult to implement. Because I think the Sweden Democrats are very keen to get at Roma people and these these people and move them out of the country. They've said in general, that they said very recently, they want to offer a huge amount of money for people to voluntarily repatriate to what they call their home countries. And I think, you know, ultimately, even if it doesn't prove to be something that they can make law out of, well, they've had plenty of time to talk about it over the next 9 months.
Now, over the next 9 months, I presume if they decide to go ahead with this nationwide ban on begging, there will have to be appropriate punishments if you're caught doing it. And what is the thinking about what they might do if they do apprehend a beggar outside an underground station? What are they going to do with that person?
Well, this is the thing the Swedish politicians are very careful not to do. What they tend not to do is jump in ahead of the investigation, because these things are supposed to be seen as being independent. They're not supposed to sort of try to influence it whatsoever. But I think ultimately what they want to do is create a hostile environment where a person, say, down in Central Europe looks at Sweden and goes, do you know what? I don't want to go there. It's too much trouble to go there and beg on the street and try to get my few quid that way. I'm going to go to somewhere else. I might go to France or to Germany or that. So far, there hasn't been a penalty. But as you correctly say, if there is to be a crime, there has to be some sort of penalty. But that's the kind of thing that's going to work out there. What do you do? Do you fine people? Do you put them in prison? What tended to happen in America after the Great Depression was that rather than ban begging, what they did was ban vagrancy. And anybody found to be vagrant then would be put in prison and that. But that doesn't address the underlying cause of it. And essentially the underlying cause of the major part of the problem is the fact that Roma people are discriminated against in their home country. And really that's what needs to be addressed rather than people begging on the street to Stockholm.
And the final question really, Philip, is about a statistic I read overnight, which was that Sweden's migration rates into Sweden seem to have gone down, that you've got more people leaving Sweden than coming in. Is that so?
That is indeed so. And that goes back to around about 2015, 2016. Indeed, you and I have spoken about this before. I think Sweden took in 163,000 people in 2016, I think it was, from Afghanistan, Syria and various other countries that were war-torn and strife-torn. But since then, the Prime Minister at the time was Stefan Löfven, a social democrat, a man of the centre-right. And he talked about how his Sweden didn't build walls and it was going to be the most open country in the world. And the political reality of that caught up with him very quickly. And as with many other social democratic countries, or ostensibly social democratic countries in the Nordic region, he started to shift to the right on that. So you'll find much harder lines on immigration in Finland, Norway, Denmark and Sweden, and that's both on the centre-left and the centre-right. That has created this hostile environment, not just for people fleeing war and persecution, but also for everybody from programmers from India and Pakistan and Bangladesh and health workers from America coming here. So it's no longer the people's home that maybe Olof Palme once dreamed of.
Yeah, and how do they do that? I mean, do they limit the help that was available through the social services?
Yeah, but that's part of it. I mean, one of the things the Sweden Democrats are offering, it used to be, I think it was 10,000 crowns, which is about 900 euros to repatriate. Now they want to increase that to 300,000, which is, you know, around about 30,000 euros. Handling times for asylum applications are much longer. If you want to get a work permit or work for a company here, they've increased the wages that you have to earn drastically. Again, that might be good for labour protection in this country, but it's certainly not good for people coming in from outside. And then the enforcement of these things as well. In certain areas, such as the area where I live, you'll regularly see the police at bus stops and getting onto buses and checking that people have the right to be in Sweden.
Comment coming in. When I worked in Sweden, says this texter, in Stockholm a few years ago, I couldn't believe the amount of begging on the streets. I believe they treat it as a business. I used to work near an area where they lived and would see them heading off to their pitches all over the city, mostly women, where the men just hung around doing nothing.
Well, what tends to happen is the women tend to beg on the streets because they get more sympathy, and the men then would go and collect these deposit return things, so soft drink cans, bottles, that kind of thing. So that's their level of it. As the caller correctly says, they tend to live in camps or in groups in different encampments, but then no more than has happened in Ireland, they would be subject to abuse and violence. A man was killed when an encampment was set fire to in 2014, for instance. So the idea is somehow that these people, and it's often the sort of thing that you see on social media, that, oh, you know, they're making hundreds of thousands and they're bringing all their money home and they're buying big fancy cars. Like, that is not the reality of what these people are doing whatsoever. And as I say, it is sort of seasonal. It goes up and down. At some point you have more, at some point you have less.
Philip O'Connor, Irish journalist based in Stockholm, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.